You're listening to The Workplace Leader. This is the podcast for corporate real estate and workplace leaders, where we talk about all things workplace and invite the people who are shaping the next generation of the office experience. I'm your host, Raphael Morgulis. My guest today is Dr. Christian Schmeichel. Since 2021, Dr. Christian Schmeichel is the Chief Future of Work Officer at SAP, leading the company's global Future of Work organization. In this role, he is responsible for SAP's holistic Future of Work agenda, focusing on state-of-the-art people practices and innovative workplace approaches for SAP's more than 110,000 employees across the globe. Christian joined SAP in 2005 and has since held various management positions as Global Head of HR Strategy, HR Director for SAP's subsidiary in Japan, and had overall responsibility for HR in SAP's board areas, Office of the CEO, Technology and Innovation, Global Finance and Administration, and HR. In addition to being Chief Operating Officer for SAP's global HR organization, he also led the digital transformation of the global HR function. He holds a PhD in Business Administration and is considered a renowned expert on the future of work and the transformation of global HR organizations. Hi, everyone, and welcome to this new episode of The Workplace Leader. Today, I have a very, very special guest here with me, and I'm delighted to introduce Dr. Christian Schmeichel. Christian is Senior Vice President and Chief Future of Work Officer at SAP. So hello, Christian, and a very, very warm welcome.
Hello, Raphael. Delighted to be here.
Thank you for being with us. I cannot hide my excitement to get things going here on, because I think the topics we will want to discuss here today are extremely important, and your point of view and experience will be of extreme value to our listeners. But let's start this conversation a little bit with some basic introduction of you. So, as we do for all our guests on this podcast. So I've mentioned who you are, or let's say your role, but I would love to hear from your own words, especially today on your role as Chief Future of Work Officer. So what is your, let's say, mission, your role?
Absolutely. No, thank you. And thanks very much again for having me. To be honest with you, if somebody had introduced him or herself 10 years ago as a Chief Future of Work Officer, I would have been probably scratching my head and would have said, what is this all about? Today, now in 2023, it's exciting that we have such a role, not just at SAP, but also in other companies, but that this is more relevant than ever. So having been now in the tech space and also in the HR executive world for almost 20 years, it's fascinating that this is probably one of the most exciting roles I've ever had. Having been working in Japan, in the US, in Germany, wherever, having been now in the HR executive space and shaping things like HR strategies, doing HR M&A, being HR director for SAP in Japan, what we are doing right now is we are trying to look at the future of work holistically at SAP. And the mission from myself and my team is certainly to make SAP more resilient, more agile, and of course, future ready, because we all know that the world around us is changing at a breakneck speed. And we got to make sure that our organizations are future fit, and we'll be able to manage whatever comes then in a very successful manner.
I was actually going to say, I should mention that we're recording this on the 16th of March, because things in this world today are changing so fast. It might be that something we say today might not be completely relevant already in 1 or 2 months when people were listening to this podcast. So I think that's important. As you mentioned, things are moving at a breakneck speed. One more thing on your role. Usually I ask people, what are their typical stakeholders? But I think in your case, is it safe to say that it's everyone in the organization?
Theoretically, yes. And in practice as well, which is also the reason why we understand also the future of work organization as a function which is very closely collaborating with a lot of folks. And in particular, when more or less a lot of people think about the future of work, they usually think in particular about also flex work. But for us at SAP, this topic is much broader. So while in the flex work space, you naturally work very closely with your friends and colleagues in facility management, with your friends and colleagues in the IT space, with all the other HR functions and with the business, this is also true with maybe a potentially broader future of work agenda. So for us, when we think about the future of work, This comes in particular then down to three dimensions. And the first dimension is the future of workforce. So if we close our eyes and think 5 or 10 years down the road, imagine what the workforce composition of SAP will need to look like according to our business strategy. How many permanent employees do you need? How many gig workers will you have? How much AI or how many robots will you have on the team, looking at that time horizon, because this is certainly about to come. And not to mention ChatGPT and all these technological advancements. I think there's a lot of energy and dynamic right now in that context. And therefore, it's important to have that clarity, right, about your target picture, the future of the workforce. And based on that, the second pillar comes into play, which is then how do you envision the future of people and workplace practices? So this involves things like the good old bread and butter business of HR, like recruiting, learning, total rewards, what have you, but also new and emerging topics, for example, health, safety and well-being or flex working models. And this, of course, needs that close intersection with, for example, the facility management. So it's also about things that have historically been not in the purview of HR. This needs to be very, very closely managed and in collaboration with the other folks. And last but by no means least, the third dimension is if you have the future of the workforce clear and you know what kind of future people practices and workplace practices you need, then of course you also need to think about the future of HR or the future of facility management, the future of the IT team, because these functions will need to evolve as well to make sure that you can deliver all of that. And that's fascinating. I think the pandemic has shown us that things have gotten so complex. It's all about collaboration. It's all about partnership. It's all about stakeholder management. And I think if there's one thing that the pandemic has taught us, it's certainly that one, that we all need to partner to be ready to tackle these challenges ahead of us together.
Right. Thank you so much, because you're already introducing, let's say, these kind of topics that where I have millions of questions around IT, HR and facilities, etc. But I want to continue with one, let's say, last definition, maybe. We hear a lot about employee experience today, and we're talking a lot about companies adding chief employee experience officers to their leadership teams, etc. Just to understand how SAP is structured, do you have such a function as well as future of work, or is this within future of work? How does it work?
At SAP, we are looking at the whole topic of experience kind of holistically. And it's interesting that we have more or less a longstanding also history with that. That whole topic of good workplace experiences and employee experiences are certainly top of mind for us. We even have this as a key KPI for our entire HR function. And therefore, this is relevant for all of us. So therefore, it's managed holistically. And I think this is all based on the underlying, more or less, understanding that we do have a mindset which puts the consumer, the employee, the manager, the candidate, more or less, front and center. So I think the big mindset shift includes that we understand the customers or the recipients or the users of HR services as consumers. Because if you start from that lens, you will take a look at a lot of things completely differently. And therefore, it's important that this is a topic which is more or less relevant to all of us. And we have certain functions that are looking at this, but all of us are looking at this holistically. In my organization, the Future of Work organization, we are taking a look, for example, at the overall process picture. We're looking at the Future of Work strategy, and we're having that HR Consumer Experience Index as a key KPI for everyone who is doing HR at SAP.
Okay. And last point, let's say more on let's say overall big picture. This role is relatively new at SAP. What would have been, let's say, the main driver to create this position and to kind of position it very, very strongly in the organization?
I mean, when it comes to the future of work, I think I'm not telling any secrets when I'm saying that the world around us is indeed changing at a massive speed. And when you would like to make sure that your organization is future-proof and future-ready, it's clear that you can't manage this as a side project. And therefore, there was a strategic discussion also on board level to see, okay, how can you more or less manage these things moving forward much more holistically? And therefore, it was, I think great to see that we were making this kind of bold move and establishing this kind of more or less a key role, which is managing the whole future of work agenda end to end with a dedicated function like mine, where I'm having the privilege of leading a large organization with even 8 different agile topic clusters, from strategic workforce planning, even including health, safety, and well-being, and the future of work digital lab, and all of these things to make sure everything fits together. And I feel this is serving us right now quite well. Of course, as you mentioned, right, this includes so many stakeholders. We got to make sure that we partner with everyone who's having also slight intersections with us. But that's exactly the challenge, but also the beauty and the opportunity of such a role, of such a prioritization of that topic here at SAP, to get things right holistically.
Thank you. Let's get into, let's say, the more the in-depth topics that interest our audience. So obviously our audience is more related to the corporate real estate and facilities and workplace aspects. And well, your role at SAP is going to be very, very crucial for these type of functions. And we hear more and more that for future of work includes HR, IT, facilities aspect. And it's something that that we see more and more in all the industry, and not just in, let's say, larger organizations. We also see this in smaller organizations where there is this need of bringing these functions together. At the same time, especially for large organizations for like yours, this is a massive challenge, right? Because you have these functions that have, let's say, coexisted side to side maybe for a very long time, but didn't necessarily have the same objectives or maybe didn't collaborate the same way. And now today we are telling them, okay, this needs to change. What are the big challenges here for you?
I think what is really important, that number one needs to understand that these things are getting more and more complex. And if you want to get the future of work right, this is a lot about collaboration and partnership. This is not about thinking and managing in silos. This is about solving problems together. I'm happy to report that at SAP, we're having a great partnership between the different areas, be it HR, IT, or facility management. And there is a joint understanding that we need to manage this together, which is great. Of course, this means not only operational day-to-day tactics, but this means also joint strategy. Therefore, it's great that we have such a future of work agenda, or also a flex work strategy, which has been closely aligned between the different parties to make sure that this is then backed up also by everyone. And then, of course, it's about defining even kind of a basic operating model and making sure that when you roll out things in a country, it's not just having global alignment, but also on a country level, then the three parties closely involved when it comes to managing things together with the business, right? And what I'm seeing is that at SAP, we certainly have maybe the blessing that we can leverage our own software. So therefore, we are a heavy technology-focused company by nature. And this, of course, maybe helps as well. So there is no need to convince people, right, that IT is an important part of this. It's given by nature. And it's also clear that we have a very educated workforce with more or less working now in the knowledge worker and industry space. Therefore, it's also clear, right, that there is a particular demand also when it comes to workspaces. And we see this as a great cross-functional topic. And I mean, you can really see the results when we have been also implementing now new workplace space and also flex time concepts across the world. These things are coming nicely together. And this is where the rubber meets the road. You have, for example, frontrunner locations. I'm not sure this has also gone through the press, but if you have a frontrunner location in, be it Zurich, be it, for example, Singapore or other locations, where you simply have a very nice result of this joint collaboration, where you see how things are coming together. You have people who are happy because of a new, exciting workspace. You also see that the facility colleagues have really thought through what is important to make sure that we have enough space also for the different type of tasks. This is really kind of activity-based working, where you have focused space, for example, for, I don't know, concentrated tasks, where you have, for example, enough space as well, for example, for community building, for communication, for collaboration. So these four C's are coming together, and that's awesome. And therefore, for me, the result is showcasing that the collaboration is working, and that this is even, I think, a prerequisite for success.
Thank you. One challenge that I can see from this movement, let's say, of making sure that there is more involvement, better collaboration between these teams, is that then you also need to maintain a certain level of agency and agility, right? So the more you have collaboration and involvement, the more complex things become, the more, let's say, a little bit difficult to move things can become. You still need also to maintain agency and agility. How do you try to compromise between these two imperatives?
Whenever you are working in a bigger organizational context, my personal experience is that it's always about the combination of having good and clear guardrails, at the same time also empower people to make it happen then within these guardrails. This is on one hand giving you more or less the stability and the framework. On the other hand, you got to make sure that you're fast enough and flexible slash agile enough to also adjust and course correct as needed on a day-to-day basis. And therefore, I think that combination is key. And there's also this, I think, nice saying, which says that agility rhymes on stability, right? So you need to have these things together so that everything is working well together.
Thank you. You've mentioned a few times flexibility, and you have this program at SAP called Pledge to Flex, I believe. $1 million question for anyone that's in this field in a large organization. How complex or even realistic is it for a large organization like SAP to provide each and every employee with the best conditions they need to succeed? Because every employee needs different things, right? So what's the magic formula?
Well, for us, it was great to see that when we were more or less managing through the pandemic, that this was kind of a life experiment, right, if you will. And yes, of course, a company like SAP is having the advantage that you have existing digital infrastructure. And when the pandemic hit us, we were able to move more or less our entire workforce to a remote working setting within a few days. But at the same time, this was not future of work yet or flex work, right? This was rather, I would say, emergency management or crisis management. So when, of course, nevertheless, this was triggering a conversation, how we would like to work also post-pandemic, the discussion was pretty much around also, again, here, giving the guardrails, but at the same time, making sure that people are empowered to thrive in the future of work. And this is where the Plex program was established, because we said, on one hand, given our culture, given SAP's DNA of an agile company anyway, being in the software context underway, it was clear that we need to make sure that we, of course, put customer requirements and business requirements always front and center. At the same time, we got to be agile enough and make sure that we also offer our people a good work-life balance and also make sure that they can perform in a sustainable fashion over time. So therefore, net-net, if you see the different options, how you can manage a flex work model, be it a super free-floating where everyone is more or less doing what he or she wants, it's kind of anarchy or paradise, depending on how you look at it, or you have the complete other extreme where you have more or less everything super tightly managed, everyone is checking in and clocking in depending on the particular approval. We thought that probably for us, the right way is in the middle. It's about empowering people, however, along business requirements. And this is something where we feel this gives us the right guardrails. And we have come up, of course, with the respective frameworks, but then making sure that in particular also people on a country level, because you will always have local legal requirements, and also on the team level, people can see how they can make that work best. And therefore, our commitment is that we are trying to make sure that people can see with their managers when, where, and how to work best. At the same time, of course, we are seeing that at the end of the day, a hybrid working model consists of working regular in the office, at the same time making sure that you have sufficient flexibility to work around maybe any other commitments that you may have. Because let's face it, what we see here right now in the year 2023, and also all of our employees are more or less mirroring this, that people are looking forward also once again to meeting face-to-face on a regular basis. People are looking for this networking. People are looking for the great collaboration. People are looking also for that element of cultural belonging. The organizational identity will not happen only more or less virtually. Therefore, at SAP, it's important we don't have a fully remote work model. We have a hybrid work model, where we strongly believe in the value of being together also on a regular basis. This is where we are best. And this is what we are nurturing. And we try to support this with tools, because you asked, how can one make this happen? For us, it's about providing the right enablement for leaders, but also employees and also teams, whether this is with a flex team workshop format, which is a toolkit which we provide to everyone at SAP, where people are more or less defining their regular team days, defining more or less their ground rules when working together. And this needs to happen on a global basis so that everyone talks one voice. But what you do with that within your team, I think this is up to the team, because one size doesn't fit all. The situation in Japan will be very different from China, Germany, or the US. Plus, if you work in sales, it's different on a day-to-day basis versus, for example, corporate function or software development. And therefore, for us, this is the perfect combination of providing the right guardrails, nevertheless giving sufficient flexibility for the teams to get it right.
Right. I think there's one thing that you said here, enabling leaders. I think it often gets a little bit lost in the conversation that we see in the industry, where there's a lot of, let's say, discussion around this the organization or the business goals need something, and then the employees and the employee experience needs something as well, and we need to compromise to find the right middle. But the element of management, what does management need, not just to enable this finding the compromise, but also to perform management well, that's often not really discussed in the whole industry. I think this is something very interesting, to be able to enable leaders also to lead. That's more complicated now.
I think it's more demanding. I think leadership has been always more or less also an art, that's for sure. But at the same token, I feel the basic fundamentals always stay the same, also here in this context, right? Leaders have been, at least in regular context, now also, of course, the requirement to lead. And this, of course, includes, on one hand, making sure that the direction is clear, making sure that people are also ignited, people are having the right organizational setup and all of that. But this is evolving, right? So the role of leaders in a modern agile work is much more also here than dependent on the team set, on the task. And of course, it's about empowering the team. And sometimes it's not the leader anymore who's making the decision. It's rather than the respective teammates in their function area, because they know best. It's about having clarity, right? It's about making sure that somebody is wearing the jacket when there are decisions to be made. At the same token, people also need to understand what is needed from the respective team and the setup. And you got to be more agile. People who are taking on leadership roles, we need to be more digitally savvy than the past. You need to be able to lead in a more or less face-to-face environment, but also in a virtual environment. And at the same time, it's also important to be close to your folks. And at the end of the day, leadership is a contact sport, right? So you need to really like people and make sure that you work together with them in a great way. And this, of course, comes together also how the leadership philosophy is all about. So this is, I think, changing big time. And moving forward, it's all about the team. But there needs to be maybe a team captain, right, who is in charge for holding things together. At the same time, the role of the team members are step by step, of course, are getting more demanding, because it's also about team leadership. And everyone is a leader, whether for a topic or whether, for example, co-driving maybe the agenda of the team.
I really love this. And I think it's such a challenging notion, because we still function largely with a certain image of what leadership is and it's supposed to look like. That is changing relatively profoundly. How does an organization ensure that there is this kind of change management as well on these perceptions of what leadership is and how it should function?
Well, for us at SAP, we have a dedicated organization which is focusing on learning and leadership. And I think they're doing a great job in not just keeping our global SAP leadership philosophy, our leadership credo, up to date, which is certainly doing what's right for the company and making SAP better for the generations to come. And this includes then also the respective enablement elements, right? This can include here and there also somewhat of a formal training, but in particular also these kind of platforms to exchange and to learn from each other, whether this is a peer-to-peer learning concept, but also to have more or less the right space to experiment and do this together with your teams. And as I said before, I think there's on one hand also certain legal requirements, right? In some of our countries, you have labor law, where there needs to be also an employer representative who is giving guidance even formally. So there is a management task that needs to be carried out. At the same token, the way how you are carrying this out, this can differ. And here, a modern leadership style, depending once again on the task, on the role and the job, may differ substantially between industries, between maybe also functions and so on. But at SAP, being now in a software industry, I think this is really about also modern leadership, making sure that people are empowered. And I think when you talk about the future of work, for me, trust and empowerment are kind of the game changers, right, to get the future of work right.
Continuing a little bit on let's say, bigger picture themes, when we talk about the future organization, so in the past few years or maybe decades, we've been hearing a lot how the customer experience, customer centricity, even customer obsession, if you listen to Forrester, for example, is to be a kind of a guiding principle for organizations on how they should be structured and how they should behave, etc. And now, especially since the pandemic, I believe that we hear a lot about employee experience and organizations needing to be employee-centric. It's not really possible for an organization to be customer first and employee first. So how does an organization kind of articulate priorities? How can it communicate what is priority, what is a principle, and how to live this throughout a large organization like SAP?
Well, first of all, we are all probably in agreement that for us, a customer focus and also having a certain employee focus is not a contradiction, right? I think we need both. And there's always this nice equation that happy employees also can lead to happy customers or will lead to happy customers. So therefore, this is for us something that goes hand in hand. Of course, we are all in the business of making business. Therefore, it's critical and key to success to make sure that there's a strong focus on what the customer needs, because this is what we are here for, right? To help them to solve their challenges. At the same token, at least in our industry, a lot of other industries, at the end of the day, and the work and the solutions are provided to a huge extent by people. And therefore, it's so important that we have that particular focus also when it comes to the war for talent, to make sure that one is attractive enough as an employer to get the best people and also to retain them over time. And this, of course, comes all down then to having the right people strategy, which is more or less then derived from the business strategy. This needs to go hand in hand. And we see that a great customer experience is then certainly also more or less backed up and supported by a great employee experience, because this will simply lead to the fact that you will have people who are highly engaged, who know what the customer needs, and that they will bring this then to the table on a day-to-day basis. For me, the key question is rather how to create this employee experience, right, which is then supporting the customer experience. And for us at SAP, I already alluded to it. For us, it all starts with that mindset shift that we understand the employee, the manager, or the candidate, or whoever else who is a consumer of HR services, indeed as a consumer. And this means that the services that we provide need to be simple and standardized. They need to be easy to use. They also need to satisfy, right, the original request. And they should be, in an ideal way, also fun to use. And if you are trying to go for that, it gives you a good North Star, right? What to do and maybe where to do better. And of course, technology can help big time, which is, of course, also a mantra, what we are doing with our own software at SAP, which is also called, by the way, human experience management, which is, of course, also reflecting that notion of putting the human elements and the requirements front and center. But I also feel that this is not just about processes and tools. It's also about the skills of people. And this starts with the mindset, but also with having the right skills and capabilities to provide these great customer experiences. And this is something that needs to be enabled and supported. And here, once again, HR can play a crucial role in terms of providing the right trainings, but not just classroom trainings or e-learnings, also the right platform where people can exchange. Because in today's times, it's all about also peer learning and learning from each other and learning together. And therefore, it's about the mindset, providing the right platform, making sure that the culture of continuous improvement and the culture of learning is really embraced, because this is what will probably differentiate then in the future also great employers from good employers or other employers.
Well, you mentioned the importance of exchanging, and here I would take this even to the notion of interaction. And this is bringing this back to the, let's say, interest of our audience, of the office and the physical workplace. So that's probably where the physical office plays a very important role. My question is, for example, we talk about customer experience, and this is something that is also enhanced with having quality touch points. If we're talking about employee experience and the quality of the employee experience, that's also something that can be enhanced with interaction, with having, let's say, good touch points with the employees. Would that, for example, hint to all the functions in the organization that are rather internal facing, where the clients are inside internal? Does this mean that these functions have almost a more stronger imperative to be in the office and to have these interactions?
Not necessarily, from my perspective. I think one needs to distinguish between having regular touch points and making sure that, of course, the social glue is there, also to understand the culture and to build the culture. This is certainly supported by having the right level of what is also being in the office together on a regular basis, which is why we are such a strong advocate also for hybrid working models, because on one hand, you've got to offer flexibility in modern times. On the other hand, it's also about having the chance and the opportunity to meet together on a regular basis. But for me, it's more about how you interact. And this can happen then in, for example, in modern office spaces, where I feel this can be a huge differentiator, right? Because this is not only providing a nice environment where you like to be, it's also about maybe having the right setup, how you can best collaborate, or for example, simply exchange information, whether this is a modern space where you can have a good meeting, where you can simply also mingle or have, for example, a good community get together. These things need to be supported. Therefore, I think space and workspace is probably one of the key differentiators moving forward, but in a different way, how this was probably understood in the past, different formats, and much more flexibility, so also to adapt to changing requirements, and making sure that when people are there, and people don't need to be there all the time, when people are there, they have the right setup to do their job in the best possible way. At the same time, right, when you also talk about corporate functions and how they need to work closely together, I think I couldn't agree more with you. But this, whether this is only happening more or less face-to-face or could also happen virtually, I think it's both. One needs to be very good at managing all of these channels, whether you collaborate virtually, because maybe sometimes not everyone is at the same location. If you're working internationally, you will have people from other countries dialing in. So this is where we feel that workspace understanding also needs to include the virtual workspace to a certain extent moving forward, that you have the right collaboration channels, making sure you have the right tools in place. At the end, experience comes from having the various elements fitting nicely together. It's a holistic picture where all the different puzzle pieces give that great overall puzzle picture. And this is where I feel organizations can probably be very good if they put a particular focus on that, making sure that the individual puzzle pieces fit together.
Now, that's very important, yes. I think, yes, there is this notion that if you bring people back together in a physical space, there is going to be this interaction or collaboration. But the reality is, whether it's physical or virtual, if people want to stay within their lane and just keep their, let's say, normal networks, there won't be much collaboration. There is an additional effort needed from the organization to make sure that people actually come together.
Exactly. And I think for us, therefore, it's so important to have the various elements then in place that support this, which is on one hand, a North Star, right? The strategy needs to be the right one and also needs to be clearly articulated. Everyone needs to understand it. Number two, it needs to be backed up by the right culture. This is how people are working together. Here at SAP, we have what we call how we run behaviors, which is, I think, a great role model behavior, whether this is breaking down silos, telling it like it is, and so on and so forth. So things that are more or less nurturing of the collaborative element. And then it's also about sometimes giving feedback on continuously listening to the organization, which is why we also put a particular focus on regular usage of feedback instruments, making sure that leaders and the organization at all has the right data and the right information to see whether one is on the right track or whether one needs to course correct as needed.
I was going to follow that up with a question around, I mean, we talk a lot about diversity in the current environment, and diversity is also a diversity of aspirations or ambitions. Not everyone wants to climb up and come at the top of the ladder, let's say. So it's very important also to provide other ways of developing oneself in the organization, right?
Absolutely. No, and diversity for us at SAP is key because we all know that innovation also is heavily supported by different opinions, perspectives. But diversity is just one thing, right? The inclusion part is the other part of the equation. So when diversity is being invited to the party, inclusion is more or less being asked to dance. So these things need to come together to make sure that you have the right workplace with the different perspectives. And we feel that this is indeed, I think, something which is much broader than gender or other more or less classic diversity dimensions. This is about also diversity of perspectives. And this in particular includes also, for example, ethnicity or cultural, well, as origin and all of these things, which is great. And we are very proud that we have a very diverse workforce.
When it comes to future of work and determining, let's say, the course of SAP in the next decade, for example, from a workforce perspective, how much is data, how does it factor into setting this kind of agenda or this strategy? How do you use data that's obviously a representation of today. How do you use it to kind of figure out what will be needed tomorrow?
Indeed, for us, data-driven HR is probably one of our mantras. So we run HR like a business. And at the end of the day, it's also about understanding, of course, what your customers, consumers, in this case, maybe also employees need and require to be successful. And therefore, we have various elements of our continuous listening strategy. So we regularly get feedback from our organization through various instruments. And this is very important. And we analyze this very carefully. And of course, we ask our folks how they're doing now, what maybe has happened in the recent past that we can learn from it and see what has worked well, but also maybe where we need to do better, so that this is something which we can take into consideration for the path forward. But we also ask folks in particular, right, what is maybe needed for the path forward. So it's about different time horizons that we are asking about. And of course, the data needs to be then compared over time. And we feel that this is a key differentiator for modern work, right? Scenario planning based on data can be crucial for success when it comes to things like workforce planning and other elements. So therefore, data is for us a key element of what we feel is a successful people work or HR work.
Right. And when you talk about, for example, listening tools or monitoring tools and sometimes even tracking tools, how is the communication around these capabilities and these tools that are being used by the organization? How's the communication like, and what are the challenges in order to make sure that employees understand that this is actually to bring value to them, as opposed to trying to control or to be in an adversarial kind of relationship?
For us, it is important to make sure that we also leverage our own tools and our software. So therefore, at SAP, this is actually very well received, that we are also asking regularly for feedback. We are a feedback culture. At the same time, our tools include that regular continuous listening. So therefore, we are more or less simply running then our own processes that we also sell to customers. So we're drinking our own champagne, if you will. And this is something which is therefore highly accepted. And the results also show us that with very high response rates to our feedback instruments, with also very good results about our future of work activities, for example, 80% of our staff tells us that with, for example, things like Pledge to Flex and hybrid working, we are even a more attractive employer of choice, and almost 80% feel empowered to decide when, where, and how they work best. So therefore, this is great. And also things like productivity measures, like 80% of our employees and also managers tell us that their productivity is increasing or even stays the same than when working in hybrid working setup. So these are simply examples how we measure whether things are going the right direction. And therefore, yeah, these instruments are very well received, and they're even sometimes asked for.
Thank you so much for all these insights. So I will conclude with a couple of, let's say, standard questions that we ask to our guests. The first one is, let's say, what is the most creative or experimental thing, initiative, project that you have carried in the workplace so far in your career?
Well, I think I've done a lot of different things right now. What we are doing also, this huge live experiment of managing successfully through the pandemic, I think certainly exciting one. I've also done things like, for example, working in HR M&A context, and whoever has already worked in kind of a merchant acquisition context knows that if you have done something like this, nothing can scare you anymore. So therefore, this is certainly interesting and exciting. But yeah, I think it always depends probably on the perspective.
Okay. And the last one, who would you recommend us to reach out to as a next guest for our podcast?
Well, I think there is right now a lot of very interesting momentum in the market, particularly also around that space. What I would maybe encourage you is, because the world is now looking at this so holistically, maybe folks from another country, for example, from countries like Japan, where historically maybe also flex work or remote work was simply not feasible or not so much accepted even. Right now, the country is going through a huge workforce transformation. And therefore, maybe a credible leader here from Japan might be a very interesting guest, just to make sure that also in these cultural contexts, how things are evolving and how the world is changing, right? Also there. And then therefore, the world is changing as a whole.
I really like that, because most of the time our guests kind of indicate diverse profiles. So for example, people that are a little bit outside of the workplace or the HR or the employee experience realm, but you come up with a bit of a different angle, which is different culture. And this is so important. We see that that adapting programs, for example, to workplace models or workplace layouts, they need to be adapted to each and every region. So that's a very, very good indication. Thank you. Well, thanks a lot, Christian, for the very nice conversation. I mean, you have given us so much to think about and so many good examples from a leading organization.
Thanks so much for having me. A true pleasure. And yeah, I think the future of work is now science fiction anymore. It's already here to stay. And very excited, right, to see what's happening. Connecting people and technology is a great opportunity that we all have in shaping the way how we will work and live in the future as an organization, but also then certainly as a society. So thanks very much for having me.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening. We will soon be back for more. And in the meantime, go visit our blog at Locati.com and have a look at the other topics we have covered, or stay tuned for more episodes of the Workplace Leader.